present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Patricia Burke as Mother, Leonard Williams as Theodore Craythorpe, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan in...
How Now, Brown Cow? I started hating you when I began to chew your meat pie.
No, you put it on, Mrs. Clitheroe. I'll clear away the tea things from the table.
They make me tummy ache. What do you used to make? Your meat pie. I've tried them. I've fried them. Oh, hello, Mr. Craythorpe. Hey, come and have a look at my album.
I'm afraid not, James. You'd have to move your album off the table. I'm going to clear the dishes and wash up for your mother.
Hey, you want to watch it, Mr. Craythorpe? If you're not careful, she'll have you scrubbing the step and I'll be calling you auntie.
You're the one who'd better watch it, as you put it. Whilst your grandfather is ill, your mother needs all the assistance she can get. It would do you no harm to help.
Wouldn't it? I was tidying up this morning and I got a smack round the ear.
Why, what were you doing?
I was clearing all the cream cakes out of the pantry.
Oh, you are a terrible boy. Now, come along. Move your things off the table.
Oh, just a minute, please, Mr. Craythorpe. I've only got two more pictures to stick in my album.
Well, can't you do it somewhere else? You'll have glue all over the table.
Oh, 1 minute more, that's all. I'm collecting pictures of animals and birds. Look, I've got some good ones.
James, will you move your things? Oh, just a moment. Is that a koala bear?
Eh? Oh, yes.
Isn't it a delightful little animal? How would you like a koala bear?
Fried with chips.
James, how could you?
I'm only kidding. I'd like one as a pet, really.
So would I. Oh, here is the bird of paradise. Move over, James.
Well, I was just going to put these last two pictures in.
Yes, well, carry on. I'll just glance at the other pages. Oh, look at this little baboon.
They're funny, aren't they? That one must sit down a lot.
Why?
He's worn all the fur off his sit-upon.
That is the way they're made, James.
Oh, yes. I remember our science teacher telling us, when a baboon blushes, it goes all red on its...
Yes. Yes, James, I know. Excuse me, let's put the album flat. I'll just move these cups and...
I'm not in your way, am I?
Oh. Oh, I say, look at that.
Oh, hold it a second till I stick this one.
It's an anteater. What a tongue.
Will you stop jerking the book?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I have the baboon, please?
Where is it?
I've just glued it on your sleeve.
Oh, James, do be careful.
Look out. Me be careful. You've just made me spill glue on the tablecloth.
I did no such thing.
Watch it. Me album's in the glue now.
Theodore, have you finished gluing the... Oh, I see. You haven't started yet.
Oh, I was just doing it, Mrs. Clitheroe. Come along, James. I'm still waiting for you to move your things.
I like that. For the last 5 minutes, you've been gabbling away about bears and baboons, pinching 3/4 of my chair while I've been stuck on the edge, going numb on one side of me...
It's quite all right. I'll clear up myself.
No, no, Mrs. Clitheroe. I said I'll do it, and I will. I'll have these dishes cleared in 2 shakes. James, here, take this out.
Look out, it's stuck to the tablecloth. Oh, you did it in 1 shake, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, my goodness, I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Clitheroe. I'll clear it up. James and his fiddling glue.
Oh, it's not your fault, Theodore.
Well, it's not mine. I didn't pull the cloth, and Mr. Craythorpe jogged my arm when I spilt the glue, and I was sticking my pictures in, and I get blamed for everything I do.
All right.
Well, I
do. It was an accident.
Well.
Nobody's going to smack you.
Aren't you? Oh, well, is there anything else I can do to help?
Yes, you can go upstairs and get washed.
Washed?
Yes, your face, neck, ears and knees.
Why, it's not Sunday.
Mrs. Billington's coming round to see me about the Women's Guild, and you know what she's like. As soon as you come in, she'll be doing the window test on your ears.
Who cares about Beaky Billington? Anyway, there's no hurry. I'll wait till I see a nurse come round the door, and then I'll just have time for a bath before her face arrives.
Don't you be cheeky. Go on, off you go upstairs.
Oh, all right.
I've picked up all the pieces now, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Thank you, Theodore. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you go up, call in the front room and ask Susan if she and Alfie are going out. If they're not, they'll have to come in here because I'll be using the front room when Mrs. Billington arrives.
Right, ma'am. I'll tell her, but she won't like it. They've only been in there half an hour, and it takes our Susan that long to get Alfie to get his cap off.
You knock before you go in.
I'll knock with me hanky. Hello, Alfie's left the door open a bit. That'll be so he can make a run for it if the octopus grabs him.
Well, what do you say, Alfie? Shall we stop in tonight or go dancing?
Well, I don't care. What do you say?
Look, I want to know what you'd like to do.
Well, I'm game for anything.
Alfie, do you want to go out dancing?
Yes.
Right.
But I'd like to stop here as well.
Any minute now she'll clout him with the sofa.
Alfie Hall, just for once, I want you to decide something. Listen, you said you had a girlfriend called Agatha. Well, where did you take her?
Oh, to their house. We used to play rummy with her, Mum and Dad.
Every night?
Oh, no. No, on Sundays we sang games.
She's got a right one here.
Well, didn't you ever go out?
Well, we sometimes had a walk in their garden when it was very windy.
Why, when it was windy?
Well, they lived on a pig farm.
Oh, I'm wasting my time. We'll stay in here.
Oh, no, you won't. Your time's up. We're closing the tunnel of love for the rest of the evening.
Get out, you, before I tell Mother.
Mum sent me in to get you out. Alfie can take you for a walk round the pig farm. If you grunt nicely, they might ask you to stop for supper.
Yeah, you, less of that. So Big Ears was at the keyhole, was he?
No, you left the door open, Noddy. Come on, let's have you.
Let's have you? Why don't you speak properly?
Oh, I'm very sorry indeed. Listen to posh Anna with a plum in her mouth.
Now then, Jimmy, Susan's quite right.
Look who's talking. You sound as if you've got a gobstopper in your mouth.
Don't you be so impertinent.
Well, you think you're everybody just because you went to Miss Myrtle's School of Speech, Drama and Ballet. Cost me Mum a fortune. And all you can do is say three nursery rhymes and wobble the cha-cha.
I'm going to see Mother about you. Just wait.
Oh, Jimmy, you know she shouldn't be cheeky to your elders.
She's not me elders. She's me sister. Anyway, she gets me down with a la-di-da telephone voice. You should hear her. Hello, this is the Clitheroe residence.
Ah, get away. Jenny, everybody has a telephone voice.
Yours is more like a megaphone voice.
I'll bat your ear all in a minute.
All right, Susan, I'll deal with him.
Thank you, Mother.
Jimmy, I will not have you being cheeky to Susan, especially when we have guests.
Have we? Who's come?
Your man means me.
Oh, he knows who I mean. Now, you just behave yourself, my lad.
Well, she was mocking me just because I didn't go to Miss Myrtle's school for dancing and electrocution lessons.
You did go for one day and they threw you out.
That is a lie. I gave it up. I didn't mind reading Miss Myrtle's poetry, but when she tried to get me into a pair of black tights, that was her lot.
Hey, that's a picture I'd like to see.
What?
You and your ballet tights doing the dying duck.
Thank you, Theodore.
Is there anything else I can do, Mrs. Clitheroe?
Only this last plate of cakes. If you put them on the trolley, then we're ready to wheel it all in when Mrs. Billington arrives.
Certainly. You know, it is unusual for her to be late. She's such a stickler for punctuality.
I know. I remember when I was 2 minutes late for the general meeting, she said, I understood this meeting was for 6 o'clock, sharp.
Oh, yes. I sat there absolutely livid. I could have slapped her with my blotting paper.
What's this? Have you two been having a crafty go at the cream cakes?
Oh, James, you are a terror.
We're not touching the cakes, and neither are you before Mrs. Billington arrives.
Oh, let's have one, Mum. Peaky Billington doesn't eat much. Remember last time? When you brought the tea and she looked down her nose and said, well, just a little, I'm afraid I only peck at my food. I giggled and Mr. Craythorpe nearly choked on a chocolate eclair.
That'll do, Jimmy. I don't want to hear any more about Beaky's nose. Mrs. Billington's nose.
Oh, yes. Please restrain yourself, James. Otherwise, I shall laugh every time she chirps. Speaks.
Oh, that'll be Mrs. Billington now. I'll take her into the front room.
Right, ma'am. We'll bring the tea things
in. All right, but just be careful what you say.
Hear that, Mr. Craythorpe? Watch it. No more cracks about her chirping.
Oh, you're incorrigible. Now, go ahead. You push the trolley in, and I'll bring the crockery.
Righto. Clitheroe will drive the food train to the starving city. Woo! Woo! 6 sausage rolls, 6 cream cakes, 6 sausage rolls, 6 cream cakes, 6 sausage rolls, 5 lovely fruit plates. Here we are, Mum. Grub up.
Jimmy. Well, really, as I was saying before the interruption, I was delayed by Mr. and Mrs. Treadwell.
Do you mean my headmaster and his wife?
Yes, boy, but I'm talking to your mother.
They're a funny pair, aren't they? He's little and fat and she's tall and skinny. We call them the Temple and the Toby Jug.
Will you keep quiet and put those things on the table?
Here we are. I'll put the tray on the side table, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Thank you, Theodore.
I trust you're well, Mrs. Billington.
Quite well, thank you. I was just trying to tell Mrs. Clitheroe why I was late. Mrs. Treadwell was discussing the school's drama festival with me. As you know, Mrs. Clitheroe, I am on the school cultural committee. She organises.
Oh, yes, yes. Theodore was telling me about the drama festival at Southport, isn't it?
Yes. About 20 schools are competing, and Mrs. Treadwell and I will be helping to choose the boys from your son's school who will take part.
James, what about you as a junior Laurence Olivier? To be or not to be? That is the question.
And the answer's a lemon, I know. I'd rather be a junior jet pilot. Oh, sorry, Mrs. Billington. Did I splash?
Jimmy, if you can't behave yourself, you go into the kitchen.
Oh, he didn't mean any harm, I'm sure. James, you'd enjoy being in the drama, you know.
Who, me? Get off.
I'm sure you would. You see, each school does a one-act play, and the adjudicator awards them points.
The whaticator?
Oh, well, he's known as the referee. Oh, you know, it's terribly exciting.
I'm not interested.
But when you've done your play, you can watch all the others.
I'm not interested.
Well, it's a pity. You would have had the thrill of acting.
Ooh.
And 3 days off school at Southport.
I'm not... a horse, my kingdom for a horse. Or I'll give you 0.5 crown for a ride on your donkey. Ooh, I'm going in for that, Mr. Craythorpe. I'll show them how to act.
Not so fast, young man. I'm afraid you couldn't possibly be selected to appear in the play.
Why not? I know what to do. I've seen them all on the telly and the pictures. Listen to this. Long John Silver. Arr, there you are, Patch. My best cotton thrust man. Arr. Skewer the lily-livered dogs. Button down the hatch, Miss Purity.
Just a moment.
Button your lip. And the cowboys. Mr. Dillon. Mr. Dillon. Somebody starch my combs, Mr. Dillon. And those new actors on the telly. The ones who wear dirty jeans and vests and scratch themselves. Oh, Dara. Dara, yeah, ain't with it, Dara. I don't dig you, Sam. I don't dig you, I mean, ain't with it, Sam. Dara, well, I don't dig ya.
Listen, Manchester's Marlon Brando. Jimmy, the school doesn't do those sort of plays.
Emphatically not. In fact, we are insisting that no boy may be selected whose enunciation is not perfect. That is why we have decided that only boys from the poetry reading group are eligible for the play.
Well, that lets you out, Jim. Unless you'd like to take a rapid course in elocution at Miss Myrtle's night school.
Ooh, not likely.
I have just had a thought. James, would you like me to give you some lessons and try to get you into the poetry reading group?
We are selecting the actors in a week. I can hardly see this young man changing from what he is into someone who speaks English.
He's not that bad, Mrs. Billington. Theodore.
Yes?
I think you should have a try. It might surprise some people.
Do you think you can do it, Mr. Craythorpe?
Why not? James, you shall be my Pygmalion.
Will I?
Yes. I have only a week to coach you for the stage, but I'm sure we'll succeed.
Right, Mr. Craythorpe. Hey, that's funny. I know they have them in football and in cricket, but you're the first man I've ever heard of who was a stagecoach. Yes, but Mr. Craythorpe, what is good elocution?
Well, James, the secret of good elocution is the correct use of the vocal cords, synchronized with the proper functioning of the respiratory organs.
Well, that's one thing I've learned.
What?
Ask a silly question and you get a silly answer.
What I meant was, producing a good sound with the voice goes hand in hand with regular breathing.
Oh, like me granddad when he snores.
Yes, well, I suppose there is a similarity. What we have to understand is how this arises.
Mum says it's through eating too much cheese for his supper.
Look, I'll illustrate what I mean. I take a deep breath, like this. And the words flow naturally as the air is expelled from the lungs.
Mr. Craythorpe, you sound as though you've got a slow puncture.
James, please. Now, I want to test you for incorrect vowel sounds. Is there any particular poem you happen to know?
Well, there was the one I heard at school. I think I can remember it.
Good. Well, off you go, and I'll note any mistakes you make.
Right, Mr. Craythorpe. Fireman, fireman, ring that bell. Jump on the wagon and drive like...
Mad. Drive like mad?
Yes, it rhymes with the next line. Squirt your hose and save my dad. It's all about him smoking in bed, you know.
No, James, that's not quite the kind of thing I meant. When you go for your audition for the poetry reading group, Mrs. Billington will be there. She'll hardly be interested in silly poems about firemen.
Who? Beaky Billington? Mm. She'd be useful in a fire station. I can just see the fireman when the alarm goes, sliding down a snitch.
James, let us please forget Mrs. Billington's beak. Snitch.
Try conk.
Conk. James, I shan't tell you again. We'll continue with the vowel sounds. Now repeat this after me. How now, brown cow?
I'm not saying that. It's daft.
James, just repeat it after me. How now, brown cow?
Oh, all right. Anything you say.
Oh, hello, Jimmy.
How now, brown cow?
Hey, who are you calling a brown cow?
Alfred, James and I are rather busy. Is there something you want?
Well, I've called for Susan. You see, I knocked at the front door, but nobody answered, so I went round the back in the pouring rain and fell over the dustbin, so I came back and tried the front door, and as it was open, I took a chance and came in out to the rain. I'm all wet.
Well, you said it. Alfred, let's hear you say this. How now, brown cow?
What for?
I'm going to teach you how to talk proper. Oh, no, it's no good, though.
But why not?
Well, first of all, you've got to take a deep breath, and I don't think you've got the strength.
I'll thump you in a minute. Here, feel my muscles.
Let me feel. They're not muscles. It's your jacket. The shoulder pads have slipped.
Does anyone mind if I join in?
Why, what sort of muscles have you got?
My muscles are my business.
And business is shocking.
James, we'll get back to the lesson, if you don't mind. Now, once again, how now, brown cow?
Ooh, I'm fed up with this blinking cow. Roll on, milking time.
Now, Jim, there's nothing to it. Listen. How now, brown cow?
Ooh, jolly good.
Hey, Mr. Craythorpe, could you teach me to talk proper?
Well, I don't know, Alfred. Do you think you can spare the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not taking Susan out for half an hour yet, and I think she'd like me to learn. She's always on at me for not saying the right things.
I know. You should have heard him outside last night, Mr. Craythorpe. Oh, Susan was going mad at him. She said after his behaviour at the cinema, he had no manners and he wasn't a gentleman. He went to the chip shop for a peace offering, and our Susan came up to bed.
Hey, Jimmy.
And when he got back, he threw a stone up at the bedroom window and shouted, "Come down, Juliet. Your little Romeo's got a fish and four penneth."
I suppose this made Susan more annoyed.
Oh, no, it didn't. No, she never heard me.
Why, had she gone to sleep?
No, I was outside the wrong house.
Well, James, tomorrow's the big day. You're auditioned for the poetry reading group. How do you feel?
Oh, I'll get through. I've got plenty of poems up my sleeve.
Let me hear the first item.
All right. The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain. Well, what do you know? No drain.
James, kindly stop being facetious. Remember, Mrs. Billington will be there.
Oh, I've got the very poem for her. It's one of me and Ozzy wrote. Listen. Beaky Bill went down the hill riding on her scooter. She failed to stop at a traffic cop and stabbed him with her hooter.
Have you had enough to eat, Mother?
Yes, thanks, Susan. You've done a good job tonight. Your cooking's improving a lot.
Oh, thanks. Alfie, do you want any more?
Oh, I don't know. That pancake tasted a bit funny.
That was a cheese omelette.
Was it? I'd like a bit more of that sweet. I've never had chocolate blancmange before.
It was a cream caramel.
Was it? You could have fooled me. Ouch!
Oh, sorry, Alfie. I didn't know that was your leg under the table.
You want to watch it with them stiletto heels? I can feel one of my socks unravelling.
You two lovebirds, if you fancy a quiet evening in the front room, I should get your claim staked before Jimmy gets back.
Well, isn't Jimmy home from school yet?
No, he stayed behind for the audition for the poetry reading group.
Yeah. Hey, shall I go and get him on my bike?
Oh, no, it's all right, Alfie. Mr. Craythorpe's picking him up in the car. Oh, perhaps this is them now.
Come in, Mr. Craythorpe.
Thank you, James. Hello, everybody. Well, I can't wait to tell you all. The child prodigy certainly excelled himself tonight.
Oh. You what?
It means I've played a blinder.
You got through then, Jimmy?
Oh, got through. It was a doddle.
Well, I can't believe it. My dear little brother getting into the poetry reading group.
Well, I did say. I had Beaky Billington in tears. One tear started rolling right down her nose. And it's a brave tear that'll set on a journey like that.
That'll do, Jimmy. Oh, I wish I could have heard you reciting your poem.
Oh, it was marvellous.
Yeah, hey, Jim, why don't you do it for us now?
Do what?
Recite your poem. Go on, I'll keep quiet for once. I'll breathe in through my mouth.
Yes, James, come along. Let's have a repeat performance.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, I can't do it here. This is our house. That's me mum and that's our Susan. They'll laugh the blooming nuts off.
Of course we won't, Jim.
I'll bet our Susan will.
You won't, will you, Susan?
No, of course I won't. Go on, Jimmy, recite for us.
Now, come along, James. Shoulders back, deep breath, and off you go.
All right, then. But no tittering. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. Beside the lake... What was that?
What was what, Jim?
It was our Susan. She laughed.
I didn't. I thought I was going to sneeze.
Oh, I'll make you sneeze. I'll count you with the pepper pot.
Quiet, Susan. Go on, Jimmy. Carry on, love.
All right, Mum. But she's been warned.
Yes.
One more snigger and she's had it.
Now, James, carry on, please.
All right, then. Beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Mama, I'll bash her, I will.
It wasn't Susan's fault, Jim. No, it was mine, you see. Just as you were reciting, I took my handkerchief out and she saw I'd made it into a bunny rabbit. Go on.
No, the recital's over. You've had it. If you want to see me acting, you can all come to the play when I'm in it. They're giving the parts out tomorrow, you know.
You'll be in the play then?
In it? I'll be one of the stars.
Oh.
Charles the Second.
Oh, smashing. Yeah, I bet you make a right, Charlie. Yeah, I mean, a proper Charlie. You'll be very good, Jim. Yes.
Jimmy, you mean King Charles the Second?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's an historical play, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Isn't it? And he's marvellous. Charles the First gets his head chopped off by Oliver Cromwell. And then when Oliver becomes boss of England, he has a battle with Charles the Second and loses. And Cromwell's bonds finishes up stuck on a pike.
Well, well, Theodore. There's the school bus just gone past.
Good. Oh. James should be here any minute now. I do hope they've given him a part in the play.
Oh, yes.
He's worked so hard for it.
Yes, well, you deserve as much credit as he does, Theodore.
Oh, come now. You embarrass me, Mrs. Clitheroe. Still, I shall certainly stand by to give James some more coaching. I should think the part of Charles II will be quite a difficult one.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Theodore. I'm sure Jimmy will be very appreciative. Ah, I think His Majesty has arrived. And that's no way to treat the palace door. Is that you, Jimmy?
Hello, Mum. Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, Jim, how did it go?
How did it go? Oh, I'm fed up.
James, they haven't let you out of the play, have they?
No, no, I'm in it all right. I've got two whole lines.
Two? I should have thought King Charles had more to say than that.
That's just it. I'm not playing King Charles. I'm blinking Nell Gwyn. Lovely ripe oranges, who buy my oranges?
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, Diana Day, and Rosalie Williams. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe and produced by James Casey. It starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
The Clitheroe Kid was recorded by the BBC.